in the latter part of 2 Peter 2, verse 21. For it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And the next thing Peter is doing here for us is he tells us what it is that the false teachers had turned away from. We looked at turning last time. But what they turned from is the holy commandment, which had been delivered unto them. Now you remember, earlier in the verse, Peter had just called the gospel of Jesus Christ the way of righteousness. It tells us how God justifies guilty sinners. Now, what he does is he calls that same gospel of Christ the holy commandment. He's referring to the same thing with both those phrases. This word holy, it's a word we're all familiar with, but it's a word that is rarely understood. The word itself means that which is venerated or hallowed. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy name be held in its true regard as a holy and glorious name." It also means dedicated, consecrated, sacred, cleansed, and its primary meaning is set apart. The set apart commandment, which would mean it's distinct or unique, the only one of its kind, which of course there's only one true saving gospel, only one way of salvation, and it's revealed to us in that gospel. So, holy. It's the same root from which we get two other very familiar words, the word sanctification and the word saint. Saint. Now that's a word we're almost afraid of. I mean, if someone called someone a saint, what are you doing calling me a saint? Why? Because it's been so perverted and misrepresented by false religions, especially Roman Catholicism, that the idea of a saint has been completely missed, the true idea. People think the only way you can be a saint is either you have to leave normal living and go out and become a nun or a monk or something and have nothing to do with this world. Now, that's not a saint. As a matter of fact, God wants us very much involved in this world and living in this world unto Him, in His fear, and so as to please Him. Not try to run away and escape and become hermits and isolated. A lot of people think you can't even be a saint in this life. It takes some kind of special recognition and canonization and whatever after you've been long dead. Well, the basic meaning of a saint is to set apart from sin and the world unto God for His exclusive possession, use, and glory. And so, to be no longer for common or secular purposes. In other words, I don't live unto myself, but unto Him. I don't any longer live for myself, but for Him. God wants me to be holy or pure in every way. pure in my words, pure in my thoughts, pure in my body, pure in my heart, pure in my soul. And of course that requires, because we're not pure, we're defiled by sin, that requires a cleansing and a changing and an introduction of a whole new principle that we do not have natural, a principle of grace and holiness. In other words, how does he do it? Well, first of all, let's look at some reasons why the gospel is called the Holy Commandment. First of all, because God the Father, its origin and source, he is holy. Remember how Jesus referred to him in the Gospel of John? Chapter 17. He's praying to his Father. He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. He addresses God as Holy Father. Keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as you are. What a blasphemy when people use that term of human prelates. Because they have some kind of church position, they call him Holy Father. Not so. Only God is holy. God the Son, who is one with and equal to the Father, he's holy. Acts chapter 3. Peter refers to him there as such. Verse 14. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, referring to Christ, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, the Holy One. And of course, God the Holy Spirit, as his name in itself expresses, is holy. One place we see that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Want to read verses 7 and 8. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So, moral impurity is the opposite of holiness. It defiles the body and the soul. He therefore that despises this call of God to holiness, he despises not man, but God. It's God's call, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit, by whom we're made holy. And so the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, are holy. And this is recognized by the praises of God's people and those in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Speaking of some of the inhabitants of heaven under the terms of animals, which of course the book of Revelation is a symbolic book, says the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So that's the constant praise of the inhabitants of heaven that surround God's throne. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the Eternal One. And so the gospel is holy. How? It's holy as it comes from God. Let's go to the book of Romans, where you have the gospel unfolded for us. Romans chapter 1. The very first verse, Paul says, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It's the gospel of the holy God, and so it is holy as he is holy. It's holy as it's revealed in the holy word of God, verse 2, which he had promised, which gospel he had promised before by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Now again, the scriptures are pure and unique and set apart in that they're the only revelation of God, the Bible. God has no other book but the 66 books of inspired scripture, and it's holy. The gospel was accomplished for us by the Holy Son of God, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. For the person and work of Christ is the subject of the gospel, the Holy One. And it's also applied to us and made effectual in us by the Holy Spirit of God, verse 4. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now he, of course, was without sin, which showed him to be the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit quickened his human body and raised him up from the grave. And so he's the same one who quickens us and raises us up from the grave of sin. The gospel is holy in that it makes those who believe to be holy. Verse 6, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus Christ has called you to himself. And then notice what the result of that is in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called what? To be saints. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ calls us, he calls us to be holy ones, saints. Now, the Old Testament law of Moses is holy because it's, as he said here, the Holy Scripture. But it was deficient in one thing. It could not make unholy sinners to be holy. In Romans chapter 7, you see Paul striving to be holy and to obey God by keeping the law and finding that it was a hopeless effort. He failed miserably. And he thought, and he tries to explain this whole truth in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? In other words, if the law provokes me and caused me to sin, does that make it sin? Or the cause of sin? God forbid. Nay, but I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. The law exposes our sin. It doesn't cause our sin. It doesn't impart sin. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, right? When the commandment told me don't covet, the sin in me was stirred up and exasperated and provoked to covet. And it says it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. In other words, the law does not kill the power of sin and set us free from it. It increases it. You know, the strength of sin is the law, the Bible says. And he says, for I was alive without the law once. In my own mind, I thought I was good. But the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. When the commandment came and I tried to keep it, I find I couldn't. And so I saw my sin and realized I wasn't okay. And he says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Remember, the law is a ministration of condemnation and death, not of life. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. For I thought the law would set me free from my sin and make me righteous. And instead, it did the opposite. It stirred up my sin and increased my sin and condemned me and showed me I was unrighteous. It fooled me. It didn't do what I thought it would do. And it killed me. It didn't give me life. Wherefore, the law, what? Is holy. Or God took a holy thing to show us our unholiness. But that it was not the purpose of the law to deliver us from our unholiness or to make us holy. It says the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now I see my sin as a transgression, a willful violation of God's law on breaking his command. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So the law is never going to be able to give us victory over, deliverance from, or pardon for sin. Only the gospel gives the grace to turn from sin and to believe in Christ and come to him. And so it pardons, saves, cleanses, and sanctifies us. Acts chapter 26. When Jesus converted Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he gave him a commission, and here's what he told him he wanted him to do. Verse 17 and 18. Delivering thee from the people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I'm sending you to the Gentiles as my messenger, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. How? By faith that is in me. No, the law cannot sanctify us and make us holy, but faith in Jesus Christ does sanctify us and make us holy. The law could demand obedience, but it couldn't give us the power to obey. The law could show us our sin, but it couldn't deliver us from our sin. It couldn't take away our sin or make us new. The law had none of those abilities. The gospel has the ability for all of that, and only the gospel. And of course, all this is done by the Holy Spirit's operation in applying the gospel. And what did Paul ask the Galatians? Did you receive the Spirit by the law, works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? When you hear the gospel and believe that the Holy Spirit does these things, not by trying to obey the law. And so, the gospel makes us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. It gives all believers an inheritance, as he says here, in God's holy heaven. God's a holy God, and no unholy being or creature can ever enter his presence. And so only those who are sanctified by faith in Christ have a place in heaven. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Paul is about to depart from the elders of Ephesus, and he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Notice, not the word of his law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace. To the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Not here, an inheritance in glory. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. He says, this inheritance is among all them which are who? Sanctified. And no others. So, if you're not a saint, now you won't be one in eternity. What's Hebrews 12:14 say? Sainthood is not an accomplishment of some elite few or some who are pronounced saints after they died. Sainthood is the condition of every child of God. Every believer in Christ is a saint. It says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Man in sin is unholy. That's what 2 Timothy 3 says. Why are things so terrible in the world? Why are so many awful things happening? Why is it so hard? Well, verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, what's going to make them so perilous? The men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But when a man is in Christ, he is made holy. Philippians chapter 1, Paul addresses the church. You know how he speaks to them? Verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. All the true believers of Christ in that church were saints. Why? Because of what they did? No, because they were in Christ by faith. And in Christ is what makes us saints, set apart from sin in the world unto God as His own peculiar people. And that's why every believer is a saint. And since we are saints, holy ones, we should be living how? Holy. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we talked about the gospel being the way of righteousness, and now the holy commandments. And what we have to understand is those two things. Whenever a person is justified by faith, he is sanctified as well. You can't have one without the other. In other words, we are justified by the finished work of Christ for us when we believe. And at the same time, we are regenerated and sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Notice, what Jesus did is our salvation. Jesus did His work for us. He died. He was buried. Rose again. We believe that, we're justified. And at the point when we are saved, when we believe, the Spirit of God comes into us and does a great work of changing us, transforming us, making us new. He puts in us a principle of holiness. And a lot of people are very confused about this. And that's why I want to speak of both of them together so you can understand how they relate and yet how they're different. Justification and sanctification are different and distinct. The two works of God. And they must never be confused or mixed. Now, some people say, I'm justified by my works. No, your works are the fruit of your justification, part of your sanctification. Or some people say, I'm justified by faith, and it doesn't matter how I live my life after that. Once saved, always saved. I don't have to worry about how I live or don't live. No. You can't be justified unless you're also sanctified. But we don't want to get those two mixed together either. But even though they're never to be confused, they're also to be understood that they're always joined together and must never be divided or separated. You can't have one without the other. The only people who are justified are those who have been sanctified. The only people who are sanctified are those who have been justified. And so they always are together, not confused or mixed, but never divided or separated. And so when anyone professes to be justified by faith in Christ, And there are a lot of people like this. I believe, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know it. God says if you believe, you'll never perish. I'm okay. And yet that person does not exhibit a changed and holy life, then he's a false professor. He's separated what God always joins together. Or another person might say, I believe in Christ, but I don't think I'm going to heaven because I don't do this and I do that. And they try to think my going to heaven is based on how I behave. So now they're thinking of their sanctification as their justification. We're never going to be perfect in this world and without sin, and so we have to always make sure our sanctification is not the basis for God accepting us. It's an evidence that God has accepted us. And that's why we have to be careful. Our sanctification always follows and is a sure evidence of our justification. Remember how 1 John keeps bringing this out over and over again? 1 John, next book after 2 Peter, talking about the fellowship we have with God as saved people. Verse 6 says of chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. See, you can say you're right with God, and yet if you're living otherwise, you lie and be not the truth. Also, chapter 2, verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, do I know Him by keeping His commandments? No. But if I do know Him by faith in Christ, do I keep His commandments? Yes. He that says, I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. You see that? I now live a life of obedience to God's command. Well, why? What happened? Because God saved me through faith in His Son, and He changed me by His Spirit. And now He's given me a heart to follow Him. And so the way of righteousness and the Holy Commandment are one and the same gospel, which brings forth both of these truths. Why should it? Because it's from God. And what is God like? Psalm 145, verse 17. Says there, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. That's how God is. He's righteous and holy. And when we believe in Christ, He makes us righteous and holy as He is. Now, righteousness itself can refer to two things. Either to imputed righteousness, by which we have our right standing with God. That's the righteousness of Christ placed on us when we believe. Or it can refer to imparted righteousness, which is our sanctification. And that's our right living before God by His grace. You see what I'm saying? When I live a righteous life, that's not how I'm saved. That's not my justification. That's my sanctification. The righteousness can be either the righteousness of Christ that God gives me when I believe, that's my justification, or the righteousness that God enables me to live in and walk in, which is my sanctification. Ephesians 4 says that when God changes us, He does both of these for us. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Put off your old man, your old sinful ways. Be renewed as new creatures in Christ. Verse 24, put on the new man. All right, what is this new creature that God has placed in me? Well, it's that which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A Christian has been new created in Christ into God's image of righteousness and true holiness. And so righteousness and holiness are always found together, both on earth and in heaven. I want to look at a couple more places and we'll close. Luke chapter 1. It's talking about God keeping his promise to send us a Messiah, a Savior. It says in verse 74 that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And what does serving him consist of? What's it look like? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Not just for a time, but for always. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says we have this from God as a gift in Christ. It's by his grace that we have these things, and they come to us as all God's blessings do through his Son. But verse 30 says, but of him, referring to God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, or by God, is made unto us. Jesus Christ is made to us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Notice, Jesus Christ is our righteousness and our sanctification. We have those in him. And the Bible says if we have that, we will have it forever, both in this world and the world to come. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, here's a person who is not saved. He's neither justified, he's unjust, nor is he sanctified. He's filthy by sin. But what about a person who is saved? And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So we're justified by faith in Christ, righteous in the sight of God by the gift of his grace, and then holy, as he is holy by the working of his Spirit and by the new nature that he's given us. And so, the way of righteousness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is also the holy commandment that makes us holy. Let's close in prayer.